Hello. So as I said, I've been maintaining OpenStack since it existed in 2001. This is large piece of software to package in Debian. I was surprised on the bits from the DPL to find out I was one of the fifth uploader last year. And I've been doing hosting for a long time. And I currently work for Infomaniac, which is a gold sponsor of the event, and it's also the first hosting company in Switzerland. So this talk is kind of an answer I'm doing to what I've been hearing from the FSF. So I hope, even if John Sullivan is not here in the room, that I'll be heard. So it addresses to everyone that potentially needs hosting, because there's a trend of going to the cloud, and I'll explain why this is happening. So there's multiple types of clouds. There's infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, software as a service. On this talk, I'm not going to address software as a service. I just hope to lift the confusion that there is currently about that. So this is all about having on-demand VMs from a service provider. Like most of us in the room and in Debian in general, I also believe that we should never use software as a service, because you're not in the control of the software you're using then. Nevertheless, we still need hosting services for all sorts of types of services, like ticketing, shops, banking, news content, Wikimedia, or gaming, whatnot. So people have been using dedicated servers and shared hosting for a long, long time, and then slowly it's shifting to what we call infrastructure as a service for multiple reasons. One of them is cost control, because as time passes, using the cloud is getting cheaper and cheaper, and your services can grow in an infrastructure as a service provider as your service is growing. And if you are smart enough, you can even do auto-scaling, meaning that you will automatically do provisioning of VMs inside the infrastructure as a service whenever there is more demand on your web server, for example. But that's not it. People start using the cloud because setting up the traditional way on dedicated server just takes too long and it's too complicated. Like, you would install the operating system with the Debian installer manually using a KVM, and then Apache, and then all your services one by one. That's too slow to do it, and that's not the way people are doing these days. I've met a company which is called Scale 5 in Paris, in Champs-Élysées. They do only infrastructure as code. So what does that mean? It means that to be able to do a deployment, they do they write scripts using Terraform. So Terraform will do the provisioning of your VMs, and then it all deploys automatically, and anything they have to do on their virtual infrastructure is implemented through programming. And so you would use something like Terraform first, that would maybe create your inventory file, and then it will go to then later on you can use either Puppet or Ansible. And it will most of the time leverage more advanced service, like database as a service, DNS as a service, load balancing as a service so that you don't need to implement it on your own deployment. You just use whatever the provider is giving to you. So more and more companies are switching to that kind of model to deploy hosted services. And it's becoming the only scalable way to do things. Yet, at the FSF, I saw Richard Stallman joining the Debian Cloud list back in 2013. So you see that that's a long time ago. And he wrote, please do not talk about cloud. So his idea is that just saying cloud is too much of a general term to describe something, and we would better use more specific terms. So, okay, I can somehow agree with that. And yet, that's the campaign from the FSFE. So, what cloud are they talking about here? Is it software as a service? We don't know, right? Are they talking about proprietary clouds like AWS? We don't know either, it's just general, it's cloud. So it's exactly what Richard Stallman has been saying to us, that we should not use the cloud, and then they use it for the campaign. And on top of that, so like the word cloud computing comes from infrastructure as a service, and then people have been saying, I'm putting something in the cloud. That's because we do have infrastructure as a service and software on top of that, that we say that. So the word cloud does have meaning, and we should take care how to use it, I agree. But we should not just dismiss cloud and say that it's a bad thing in general. Anyway, this will not work. Like, people are going to continue to use the cloud because, as I said previously, that's an efficient way to go online. And then I have a slide. I heard, so I listened to Benjamin Makohila, sorry, I'm not saying it the right way, and having his talk at LibrePlanet, and I was a bit shocked by his message. So I'm going to make you listen to it. It's going to be a little bit tricky because I have no sound on my computer, so I use my phone and the computer at the same time.
A big new successful projects are either software for phones and embedded systems, things like Android, or lots of things that are sort of cloud services based. You can think of OpenStack or Kubernetes or databases, web frameworks, so on and so forth. And the reason those two things have me worried is because although these are free software and they're even peer production in the sense that there is peer production happening around these things, maybe less than was the case in Linux in the mid-90s, but it's definitely happening. They're both driven by firms who are engaging in a kind of strategic openness that involves the software being released freely and even distributed freely. But in both cases, it's companies that are developing and deploying software where the companies who are developing and deploying the software get the freedom, and the users, the end users, do not. And in the case of web services, software is not even running on your computer. And RMS talked about this yesterday, right? Like, the software runs on someone else's computer. They have the freedom to change it and to pull in things, but the users of that web service have nothing, or very little. Not better that they would be proprietary. Certainly for the sake of the companies that are building them, the phone manufacturers, they have all the freedoms that we care about. But I think we need to recognize as a community that the users of both systems are almost universally and totally unfree. And they're doing it in ways that provide freedom and benefits and freedom to themselves, but not their users. So
sorry, a little bit technical issue here. Did that to me over and over. All right, so I listened to that and I was shocked because I spent like maybe one third of my professional career fighting for the cloud to become free and available to everyone. And they're just saying that we should not use it. That's not ever going to happen, ever. On top of that, the question is not whether or not if you're running the cloud. It's okay, you could be renting a small VM, you could be renting a one U server, you could be owning that server, putting it in a rack, and then just doing colocation. You could own the rack and its switches, or the data center, or even the power grid and production. It can go on and on and on. Yes, of course, you do have more freedom when you own all these things. But this is not about it. The question is whether or not you control the software that is powering your deployment online, right? And using proprietary software is what is removing freedom. At least I think so. So owning or leasing the hosting infrastructure is just a question about managing your own costs. Having a VM, a private cloud, or a public cloud is also about managing your costs. The important thing is what do you run on it, and do you have the full control over it? I believe in that way that the FSF communication message is wrong, and that they should aim at people not to use the proprietary clouds like Amazon, Google, Azure, or DigitalOcean, because these are all proprietary solutions, even though you can run Debian on it. So what you should aim at, it's a bit redundant, so what you should aim at is avoiding vendor locking and being able to switch providers. Switching providers means that you have an open framework to do so, and that you are able to use the same API to go from one provider to another, and that is what OpenStack is all about. The important thing is interoperability, if I can succeed in pronouncing it. So that's what you see here on the screen is the OpenStack manifesto. So I will say it out loud for you. So OpenStack is a reliable cloud infrastructure with the mission to be ubiquitous and to produce public and private cloud regardless of size. And it needs to be massively scalable. So the important thing here is ubiquitous in terms of freedom, because this way you can go from one provider to another. So the key is in interoperability. The OpenStack clients are tested to be always backward compatible, meaning that you can use the latest version of the OpenStack client and still go to host on a service provider that is using a very old version of OpenStack. This will continue to work. The other meaning of that manifesto is that you are able to implement OpenStack by yourself and install it on-prem. So you set up your own computers with OpenStack. So that's at least the theory, right? The other thing is that with OpenStack, you also do have all the features that are on the proprietary solutions. You have an encrypted volume, auto-scaling, DNS as a service, DB as a service, and whatnot. We used to say as a joke that OpenStack is project as a service because it's so rich in features. So Also, the API is very clean. And if you compare it to the AWS API, I like it way more. If you look at some of the tools from Google, it's just scary. So in terms of just quality of the product, I think it's really comparable. And also, you do have 12 regions for Amazon. For OpenStack providers, you have 18 of them spread across 50 regions. These are only the companies that registered into the OpenStack marketplace. So if you go to OpenStack.org, you click on Marketplace, Public Cloud, and then you see this map. So for sure, you will find a service provider that is next to you or next to your customer. And then the next question is, why should you use OpenStack and on Debian and not on other distributions? So other vendors are trying to sell a product to you. Most of the time, they want also to sell some services around it. The only operating system where it's not the case is Debian. I have to explain the Ubuntu trademark thing. So, on my previous employer was Mirantis. Mirantis had this solution for setting up OpenStack using a DVD that used to contain all the packages from Ubuntu. So they were able to do that because they had the Ubuntu license. But as you may know, Ubuntu, even though is free software, has a trademark issue which is on purpose blurred, and especially for OpenStack. Meaning that if you want to make a derivative without asking Canonical, then you have to remove everything that is related to Ubuntu trademark. For example, you need to recompile every packages, and if you see Ubuntu even on a changelog version, you have to remove the word Ubuntu. So therefore, my previous employer had to remove all the Ubuntu packages from the DVD distribution. So there is no problem to do derivative on Debian, including with all the OpenStack packages. I believe that's also part of not being vendor locked in, because you're not locked in with a provider. You could fork Debian and do a derivative if you don't like what we're doing. The other thing is, when I say Debian packages are always on the edge, it means that we get the dates first. There's the biggest number of package services inside OpenStack. It has always been the case, and I've been trying to do so, to always have one or more services than what you saw on other distributions. And the other thing is, because of uploading to SID, then we also get updates from dependencies earlier than other distributions. So even though I maintain unofficial Debian backports on Debian.net domain name, the work is still done in SID, and the upgrade happens there. So currently there's some Python 3.7 upgrade that needs to happen. So if you are a Python developer, Debian is also a good choice. And then there's the question of deploying OpenStack, right? So everybody knows that famously OpenStack isn't easy to deploy. So since I started doing this packaging, I've tried to make it as easy as possible. The first thing was made with DevConf screens so that you could just have easy questions to answer. to set up your DB access to RabbitMQ messaging and this kind of things. And then providing a preceding library so that you can just call a small shell script function to do the preceding. So that has been available for a few years. Since maybe Stretch, these screens aren't bothering at all any configuration management tool anymore. It's safe and tested. And the other thing, which is a lot more recent, is Puppet. So as you may know, that Puppet OpenStack upstream software that deploys OpenStack for Red Hat and Ubuntu. So I started in the beginning of Spring to patch it to understand Debian. And now it's fully upstreamed, meaning that there is gating on upstream CI to make sure that you can install OpenStack using Debian packages. And hopefully it won't break because of this CI. So if you want to have bigger scale, you can use these Puppet packages. Packages because these Puppet modules, I also package them in order to create a bigger software, which hopefully I will have time to explain. So as I said earlier, the other advantage is that Debian is fully free, and unlike what you get from other distributions. Another message I want to pass on is that if you are in the need of hosting and you decide to use the cloud, then very much you should aim for somebody that uses OpenStack, because by doing so you will grow the number of providers, and it's going to help the ecosystem. My own effort into making the cloud free is working on OpenStack on Debian and making it available for everyone, and in a way so that it's easy to use and deploy. I'm trying to make it OpenStack. My goal is that OpenStack on Debian is the best solution for on-prem clouds. I hope one day we will have bike sheds, so that backports could be shipped into a more official way than Debian.net domain. The other thing is Puppet OpenStack that I worked on. And the last thing is the glue between all of that, which is OpenStack Cloud Installer, which I'm currently working on. So the short name would be OCI. So I'm not going to do a full demonstration of it, but because that's probably not very useful, I think it's best that I just explain what it does. So what you see here is a VM, because I use it for my development, but it could as well run on bare metal. So that VM does DHCP, PXE, and so on, so that you can network boot VMs. These VMs are booting onto a Debian Live system produced with Live Build. Inside that Live image, there's an agent which is very, very tiny, like written in shell script, that reports back to that server that you see here. and so that the bare metal machines can report what their characteristics are. So how much memory, how much hard drive, what's the interfaces, their MAC address and speed, and so on. Okay. So then after that, you do have a list of VMs that are booted over the HCP and their serial numbers. So once you've got a few machines, then you can start your deployment. To do that, you got to define networks. So you can define one, one for volume, okay. Assign it an IP address. Then you have roles for your machines that you can add some custom ones. These are the defaults. And then finally, you define your clusters. So here there's one cluster which I already made. And when you click on it, on that already existing cluster, then you see a bit more. So it's not very nice because the resolution is a little bit too small. I'm sorry for that. So at the bottom, you see available machines, which you also saw on the first screen, that you can add to your cluster, and then they are numbered automatically. And according to the network I've added to the cluster, then the IPs are added automatically as well. And then here you see the virtual IP for the cluster, so that you can share one IP in a HA mode on these two machines. So this is just to define roles and IPs for the machines. There is no big install the cluster button, but I will add it someday. In the meantime, you can just click the install button. So what's going to happen when you click the install button? So first, it's going to create some Puppet certificate into this DHCP PXE server, and copy it into the live system so that it's ready for installation. Then it's going to run OpenStack Debian images to install on bare metal a system using dbootstrap and whatnot. And once that's done, the server will reboot. It will already be prepared for Puppet. It has a role. And then when it boots up, then a Puppet agent will contact this server. And this server has an ENC for the people who knows Puppet. That's an external node classifier. So that the server will be able to tell Puppet agent what services to install. So that's where I'm up to right now. I have the packages, I have Puppet, I have this bare metal installer. And now what's missing is composing the services, but I think that's fairly easy compared to the rest of the work that I've done already on this. So hopefully this will be ready for Buster so that we have a point and click installer for OpenStack. I think that's it. So this was my presentation. I'm open for questions. So yeah, so finally, before I end, so this software and all I've been doing over the last 7 years is my way to fight against proprietary cloud software. And so, which is why I wanted to do this talk, is because I was very frustrated about the way the FSF was doing things. And I found it very frustrating to invest so much work to do to try to liberate the cloud, and having the FSF being doing a very counterproductive message. Okay, thank you. Is there any question? Oh, yeah, there's only one mic.
So is this software that you just presented available in Debian, or is it in the new queue? Like, I mean, this solution that you just showed in the browser.
Kind of. You have a version in Debian which is 1 month old, but it's in Salsa. Okay, so you can build it if you want. It comes together with a, so this is, the other thing is it's very ugly right now, so you please don't pay attention to the GUI. I will probably give it to some designers, okay? I'm not a GUI guy. It comes with a package which is called OpenStack Cluster Installer -POC, like POC, so you can install the POC package in your bare metal machine, and then it spawns some VMs. So that's the way I do my development. So if you want to participate to it, then you can just use the POC, and then it's very easy to set up. The only thing is that it's quite demanding in terms of resources. So I have a 128 gig of RAM server to run that. Probably you could downsize it.
I'm not sure that UI will be the most important thing, especially as something like this to start machines will be used more by technical people.
That's the other thing. It comes also with an API, so you can push machines into the cluster. So in fact, everything you saw there, you can do it with API. Okay, it's kind of not really a REST API because it's not REST addresses, but like with parameters.
Cool. Thanks.
So Red Hat and the CentOS support several OpenStack releases in one CentOS version. Is there a way to achieve this in Debian?
So we do have backports of every OpenStack release to the whatever is the current release. So there's Mitaka, Newton, Pike, whatever available.
The main concern is about the user to upgrade their OpenStack version and. When the new Debian stable release, and say how to, for example, jump to new release and.
With OpenStack, you cannot upgrade from one version to another because the DB migration script imports the code of whatever service we are talking about. So you can only jump from one version to the next. Because I've used Puppet OpenStack, normally upgrades are supported. I'm not planning on managing upgrades on my software. So if you want to do it, to do the upgrades, you will probably need to do some manual Puppet tweaking stuff. Okay. I'm not sure yet.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Have you talked the idea of make a pure blend of something like Open Cloud pure blend from Debian?
What I'm looking forward to have is the bike sheds, you know, the Debian way to do PPAs. And I'd better have that than just a pure blend. I'm not sure a pure blend would be useful because, pure blends are to be able to install, Debian EDU with the DI, right? You could do that with OpenStack, but I'm not sure it would make sense because what you want to do is be able to deploy a full cluster automatically. You don't really want to do it by hand.
Thanks.
Do you think that when this will be released, it would be easier to set up an OpenStack environment? Because now OpenStack is very complicated, and Ubuntu sells proprietary solutions because paying it's more simple to do. But for smaller stacks, now it's quite difficult to set up an OpenStack solution.
So that's very much my goal. What I aim with this software is to be able to address people willing to do a quick deployment on-prem, probably to test and try OpenStack. I'm not sure it's, how can I say? If you want to have a fully working OpenStack for a long time, you also need the knowledge, right? If you're not capable of setting it up by hand yourself, probably you also won't be able to maintain it. Okay, having a software to do just an install is super cool so that you can have automation to do the installation. It's nice to have it for people who are newbies and just want to try it at home, but it doesn't replace knowledge.
Two questions. The first one is, which framework or language is using OCI? Like, is Python, PHP, Perl?
Yeah, that's written in PHP, yes.
Okay. And the second is, why not, like, reuse triple O?
I've tried to make it as small and easy to maintain as possible, which I don't think fits at all the definition of triple O. It's like triple O is made by 80 engineers, and it still have lots of trouble.
Yeah, okay. It makes sense when you say this is for like smaller clouds. Okay.
I hope to use it in Orphomaniac, like for our deployments. I'm not sure what we can call small. Like we're having a few hundred nodes.
Okay. Thanks.
Like OpenStack becomes very tricky after this type of scales, right?
Thomas, could you go to that slide that showed the benefits of Debian not having the vendor lock-in and those kinds of points?
Sure. I'm not sure what it is. Let me find it out.
It's one of those in there. Vendor lock-in, yes. So I was thinking about the way you're framing this as your concern about the way the FSF was criticizing cloud. And
yeah, so
let me explain my point of it. Seems like there are two different kinds of problems. Like, there is a problem that the masses of the world are locked into as clients of servers they have no control over, and their data is not in their control, and their access is not in their control, and these kinds of issues. And so I see that as the criticism about the cloud. And it also applies to administrators. You know, do you have control over your machines that you're providing for your clients?
It's precisely what my talk is about, yes.
Yeah, so it seems like I think the FSF criticism is still valid and true. And I hear what you're saying is, yes, okay, let's make it, if we're going to have a cloud, let's do it right.
And their message is blurred, saying that it's just cloud. And they are not saying, please choose the correct cloud, which is what I believe they should say.
Yeah, it's important to parse out those different parts of it, rather than just thinking of it as, you're saying FSF is wrong. It's more like, okay, we do have a cloud. How do we do it right?
I'm 100% with them, in fact.
Yeah.
And I just think they are doing a counterproductive message.
Mm.
Anyone else? All right, thank you then.